Hello and welcome to Strong Tower Radio Feature. I'm your host, Tom Majeure. Today's program will be on safety and civics. Let's pause for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we just ask your guidance and direction in everything we do. And Lord, we ask as we do this interview that we will talk about civics and safety and be to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. It is said that fire codes are written in blood. Traffic engineering is also. It takes accidents and loss of life to raise an issue to the consciousness of the public and officials. Michigan is called the Mitten. This mitten directs motor and rail traffic largely north and south. These main thoroughfares are predominantly Interstate 75, US 27, and her twin US 127, and US 131. And then there's a grid of east and west highways, Interstate 94, Interstate 96, state routes, US 10, M57, M46, M55, and the list goes on. A hypotenuse is the straightest distance between two points. M115 connects M127 and indirectly to Interstate 75 in mid and southeast Michigan. The problem is that the hypotenuse results in an awkward intersection from Farwell in central Michigan to Frankfort in northwest Lower Peninsula. Many accidents happen in the M115 corridor. We'll be looking at one particular intersection that has recently risen to the surface, yet there's a traffic hazard on each one of those intersections throughout this whole thoroughfare. It all kind of came to even a further head when US 131 was extended from further south into Cadillac, north of Cadillac in 2001. We'll be talking to the Michigan Department of Transportation supervisor for the intersection and the public affairs officer in the second half of this program. But to get the human side of this issue, we've invited the adjacent township supervisors to this discussion. We have the Clam Lake Township supervisor, Bill Benson. He's a retired farmer, and the intersection is in his township. And for full disclosure, I rented my property for him to hang once upon a time. Welcome to our program, Bill.
All right, thank you, Tom. Yes, this intersection has been an intersection of concern for many years, and especially since 131 was extended around the city of Cadillac. That intersection was changed from a stop on Mackinac Trail, or US 131 at the time, and M115, which was a stop. And so they changed it from a stop on 115 to a caution and a stop on Mackinac Trail. And for a period of time, they did have a four-way stop there, but then they changed it to just a caution light on M115. And so there have been some bad accidents there in the past years. And it's been looked at and talked about before to do something there. And, you know, just individuals have contacted MDOT and not gotten anywhere in the past. So that's why we're looking at maybe a joint effort of townships and local governments pushing forward on this.
And what is precipitating this is an event, and to represent that will be David Egley. He is the township supervisor of the adjacent Sherman Township. Welcome to the program also, David.
Thank you, Tom. It's a pleasure to be here today to talk about a very important subject in this highway safety at the intersection of 115 and Mackinac Trail. And I was alerted/reminded of the situation by a fellow citizen in the local community who called me expressed his concern about observing a fatality at the intersection. And his basic question is, what are we going to do about it? When is the intersection going to be fixed? And I totally agreed with him. My memory in this issue goes back to the middle 50s. And there's a lot of data that's available out there in the public domain concerning the safety issues associated with the intersection. And the bottom line from our perspective is we wanted to get the bunch of folks together and have an opportunity for them to sound off in a public forum concerning their feelings of that intersection. And that intersection town hall will be on January 30th. At 5 p.m. at the Clam Lake Township Hall, and we hope to hear from the people about this issue. We've invited a variety of politicians and also the Michigan Department of Transportation representatives to attend and get the feedback directly from the people and the citizens who drive that corridor. Most of those that I've talked to personally in recent times have agreed that they feel a roundabout is a great benefit to us. We have traveled north to Meezik and onwards up to Traverse City, see that there are three roundabouts up there that to service that corridor, and they appear to slow the traffic down and reduce the risks of personal safety and auto accidents in that area. And we feel that the roundabout would have significant application right here at the 115 Mackinac Trail intersection.
And it's just interesting. I fashioned this into a public safety, a matter of life and death, but also it's a lesson in civics. What is the proper way? How do you work with government in order to affect change? That meeting, as you mentioned, is on January the 30th, and it'll be at 5 p.m. at Clam Lake Township, which is Bill's township. And it's interesting about that's also on M-115, so half of the residents may have to go through the said intersection of Mackinac Trail and M-115. It's very interesting that, and we can talk about it because you two are the resident experts or most familiar with, but that intersection has increased in activity and volume. US 131, which is, it's like a stone's throw. It may be a half a mile away, but it feels like it's a stone's throw away. The traffic is just circulating as it's coming off of that and going on to US 131 and going, exiting and gaining access to it. And then a large gas station, fuel station, which is not only for commercial vehicles, but also the semi-trucks and diesel stops. So that even makes that churn even more challenging. That is four lanes wide with a turn lane in between on M-115. And there was a fatality, and it happened to be a pedestrian. It's scary enough to drive across that in a motor vehicle trying to cross that intersection, but even more so. And then it also peaks. Who wants to talk about the busy season of that intersection? In the middle of the night at certain times, you could cross it four times without encountering a vehicle, but there's other times. Bill, do you want to jump in there?
Yes, on a busy weekend, they talked about stoplights, roundabouts. If you get down to M-55, they have a stoplight now, and that creates a big traffic backup all the way to 131 many times.
And how far is that?
That's probably a mile and a half to 2 miles.
So during peak season, largely in the summer, on holiday weekends, but when it's warm in the summer, trying to cross this, to give listeners an idea, I've counted at times on Friday afternoon 30 cars in a row, and then the cars come from the other direction, and you can wait there. And sometimes people get a little anxious or a little aggressive. Right. Does each one of those intersections on M-115 from the Clare area, M-10 intersection near Farwell, going up north, going up almost up to Frankfort. Right.
Yeah, yes, and I think a roundabout would be a better way than a stoplight. Some people have mentioned a stoplight there, but that would back traffic up clear to the county line on M115, and you know, so I think a traffic light's not a good way to go. I feel a roundabout would be a better option, but it's a big safety issue for the people using that corridor.
And we just had construction on that intersection at US 131 and M15 just recently, and you saw quite a bit of interesting backup. And if you back up south, the southbound of M115 that goes diagonally from northwest to southeast, can you imagine traffic backing up into that intersection of the US 131, which is a full busy also on holiday weekends when people enjoy coming up between Memorial Day and Labor Day and sometimes in snow season?
Well, I think that it's clear that the holiday times peak the traffic flow significantly higher as our friends from down south enjoy coming to the north to enjoy this beautiful land up here. We love to have them, but we really believe if we need the benefits of what current solutions offer in dealing with traffic flow to minimize the risks that everybody, not only the locals, but the friends and neighbors coming from the south going north will enjoy using that corridor and make it much safer for everybody.
It definitely feels like on some of those weekends that the whole southern part of the state of Michigan, whether it's southeast coming diagonally across from southeast Michigan, joining with the mid-Michigan, central Michigan, coming up from Lansing-Jackson, getting on M115, taking that hypotenuse from Clare. You know, you have the rest stop there with the visitor center, and then you come up to US 10 and you head off going west and then north west on M115 on the hypotenuse. Very, very heavy traffic in season. Now we're going to be turning it over to the experts. You're on the political side, on the elected representative side. You're making recommendations. We're going to be handing it off to MDOT to talk about statistics and other things. Remind our listeners of this important meeting that if you want your voice heard, you need to show up, even if you're from downstate.
That's correct. I mean, it's just it's an opportunity for anybody that wants to speak about this issue to be heard. It's your best form of democracy that you have, and I'm hopeful that we'll have the MDOT representatives here to provide us the latest information and thinking that they have concerning this very critical public safety point in our community.
Bill, do you believe that when people show up to these township meetings, it in numbers, it helps move the needle?
Yes, I believe so. I believe if people show up, voice their concerns, and have other state legislators there, that it could really move the needle on this issue.
Very good. I just want to thank the township supervisors from Clam Lake and Sherman. Thank you so much for coming to Strong Tower Radio and bringing this not only to the attention of the immediate area, but across the state. This is the way we solve problems in a civil society. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up, we will have the representatives from the Michigan Department of Transportation, Dan Wagner and James Lakes. Stay tuned.
Many people make New Year's resolutions about things to improve their physical health. Eat more vegetables, start exercising, stop smoking, etc. If followed through, such changes have the power to literally add years to your life. But have you ever considered making spiritual resolutions too? Good spiritual habits like regular time in prayer, faithful church attendance, and daily Bible study can not only add quality to your life right now, but most importantly can establish a faith in Christ that will extend your life into eternity. If you want to turn over a new spiritual leaf in the coming year, why not commit to studying the Bible? Visit BibleStudyOffer.com and sign up for your free lessons today. You can receive lessons and study on your own, or a local representative will be happy to study with you, all completely free of charge. Visit www.BibleStudyOffer.com today.
We're back with Strong Tower Radio. We're talking about traffic safety. We're even going to add a little bit of a civics lesson about how to interface with our civic officials. On the line with me is Dan Wagner. He is with the Michigan Department of Transportation, the Traverse City Transportation Center. He's responsible for the area that we're talking about. He has a larger area. It's about an 8-county area. Welcome to our program, Dan.
Thank you for having me, Tom.
And then we also have James Lakes. He's the public relations individual for the Michigan Department of Transportation, also for this general region. Welcome, James.
Yeah, happy to be with you.
Dan, we've talked with people at this intersection that you're familiar with. It's M115. It's a road that goes kind of diagonally, maybe kind of from basically Clare area, or just coming a little bit west of that off of US 10, and then shoots up at kind of a 45 degree angle past Cadillac and up towards Mesick and other points beyond. And one along that route, it's a unique road. Dan, you know this better than I do, that there doesn't happen to be those ideal 90 degree intersections where all traffic is at 90 degrees. It goes at acute and obtuse angles. Can you describe that intersection from a engineering point of view?
Sure, Tom. As you mentioned, the M115 does not travel in a true east-west or north-south direction, and most of our roads that we experience here in Michigan have been developed over years, a lot of them along property lines or section lines, and despite the challenges posed by our Michigan topography, many of them run north, south, or east-west, including a lot of the major intersections, such as Mackinac Trail runs north-south, so that intersection is skewed. We do see a high volume of traffic on M115, particularly seasonally. A lot of folks use that as a route to get up north, as you will, as people like to call it in Michigan. And so we do see an uptick in traffic there, particularly on the weekends, Friday, for instance, headed north, and then Sundays, folks heading south. There is a large commercial establishment on the northwest quadrant of that intersection. So the intersection is further complicated by folks coming and going. It's a gas station and convenience store type operation. So a lot of folks popping in for a quick trip to grab a gas or a soda or, you know, what have you. And then there's some additional commercial construction in the surrounding areas. Another unique feature about this particular intersection there, M115 and Mackinac Trail, is the proximity of the M115 and US 131 freeway interchange that exists just northeast of this location. So the intersection is also under influence of traffic behaviors that occur from folks exiting and entering the freeway via that interchange, that are also greatly influenced by the seasonal traffic on the weekends in particular. So I'm aware there's also at least one pretty good-sized school in the area that adds some additional uniqueness to this intersection, in that there are times of the day, particularly when school is about to go into session or shortly after it exit session, where there's a surge of traffic where folks are trying to access M115 via Mackinac Trail. So Mackinac Trail at times has a tendency to back up, as there just are not enough frequency for gaps in traffic in the M115 traffic. And some would say that people then become impatient and have a tendency to make some poor decisions and try to make a turning movement where maybe there really isn't a safe gap for them to do so.
And I can just add a couple things to that, that during those holiday weekends and peak times, trying to get across M115, you could wait 20, 30 vehicles at a time, and sometimes that impatience factor, because it clears from one direction and then you can't make it from the other direction. And M115 kind of goes on a hypotenuse. It's the shortest distance between two points, and you're trying to go from central Michigan or even southeast Michigan. Traffic is trying to access the Traverse City, Frankfort, some of those very desirable northwest Lake Michigan destination. So there's a lot of going on. What is, give us some statistics, kind of makes me think of that old television show, Just the Facts, Ma'am, Just the Facts. So what are some of the facts about that particular Mackinac Trail and M115 that would give our listeners who may have never traversed that intersection some ideas of levels of traffic, peaks of traffic, and accidents that have happened at that intersection?
We do have a crash history at this intersection, as we do at virtually every major intersection throughout the state. I'm aware that there's been one recent fatal crash at that intersection that involved a pedestrian. It happened during wintertime conditions under low light.
James, you might jump in, too. You've sure. looked at some statistics there.
Yep. You know, and anyone can look up crash statistics online in Michigan. We get our data from Michigan Traffic Crash Facts online. And in the last 10 years at this intersection, there have been 47 crashes. 12 of those resulted in injuries. Three of them considered serious injuries, and the one fatal crash that Dan mentioned earlier. So just under an average of five crashes of all levels of severity each year there.
Now, you know, you would, as MDOT, if the gas taxes and the state legislature gave you unlimited money, you would fix every single intersection to make it as safe as possible, but that's not the world you live in. Who would like to kind of give the perspective of the constraints that you work under?
Sure. This is James. The reality is we don't have unlimited resources for the work that we do. We do the best that we can with the resources that we're entrusted with. We try to be good stewards. There are a lot of needs across the system. Transportation is a very broad industry, right? A lot of people think of roads and bridges, rightly so. Those are some of the most visible parts. But as a state department, we also have a responsibility for aeronautical considerations, trains, rail, passenger transportation, buses, ferry systems. It's really all modes of transportation throughout the state. Non-motorized transportation, trails in some cases, and other ways for people on foot and on bike to get around. So when we talk about the highway system, and MDOT's area of responsibility jurisdiction is for interstates, so the I routes, U.S. highways, and then state routes, those, you know, preceded by an M, like M115. We have different funding pots allocated to us each year by the legislature and the governor through the budgeting process. And those are divided up for different activities, such as rebuilding roads, repairing roads to keep them in decent condition, rebuilding, replacing bridges. Then we have all kinds of things that are kind of out of sight, out of mind, like culverts beneath roadways, storm sewer systems. And then we have things like we're discussing today, traffic safety. And that's another slice of the pie that we have. So out of that funding, we have things like traffic signals, signs, pavement markings. And all of those are allocated throughout the state. And they're allocated by priority. And we prioritize in many different ways. But when it comes to traffic safety, we're looking for the biggest bang for the buck when we're spending those funds. So every year, We're looking at intersections throughout the system. We understand completely that people are most concerned about the intersections that they drive through every day, that they're most familiar with. But we as a State Department need to balance those priorities throughout the state. So we're looking at intersections that not only have those crash histories that we've talked about, but we're looking for things that can be correctable. As Dan mentioned, at this particular intersection, we're looking at a lot of crashes where people are pulling out into that M115 traffic. Now, we've done a recent study. We had a consultant do a study of this M115 corridor, and we found that this intersection is suited for a traffic signal. So we are in the process of pursuing that. Now, we're early in those stages. We've just this past summer identified it as meeting what we call warrants, or those standards for a signal installation. And now we're looking to identify funding within our budget where we could install a traffic signal at this location in the coming years. Now, we're early on in the process, so we can't specify what construction year this might occur in, but we are moving toward that as the end goal, to install a full traffic signal with red, yellow, and green lights to help drivers make good decisions at this intersection.
James, to give our listeners, as we talked in show preparation, I was talking about tens of thousands of dollars for a traffic signal, and you told me I was underestimating what might be the range. I think our listeners will be quite surprised how expensive the solutions are.
Yeah, our kind of baseline estimate for a new traffic signal and the equipment that's needed, the construction work itself, is in the ballpark of $500,000.
That's $500,000.
Depending on the complexity of that signal location, the equipment needed, that cost could be approaching $1 million. So it is not an insignificant amount of money.
Very good. Let's, as we close out the program, give us an idea of when we see a concern, how do citizens, what is the correct way? Is it going to the media, the first one? Is it going to your local level of government? Just in about a minute, give us an idea about how our civics lesson on how to deal with these.
Well, I would argue, MDOT is set up in a very community-based way. We have these transportation service centers, like the one we have in Cadillac, the one that we have in Traverse City. They're intended to be a local point of contact for residents, local government officials, to raise those concerns. We're always the best first stop. When people go to their legislators or other elected officials, they're gonna be pointed our direction eventually anyway. So we would encourage them to start with us, and we can get the ball rolling on addressing concerns very quickly.
Very good. Thank you both for giving us a perspective, and thank you for your service.
Yeah, our pleasure.
We've been talking.
Thank you, Tom.
You're welcome. We've been talking to Dan Wagner. He's with the Transportation Center in Traverse City. We've been also talking to James Lakes. He handles the public relations for the Michigan Department of Transportation. We've talked to officials of townships of Sherman and Clam Lake. For Strong Tower Radio, thank you for listening. God bless. Bye now.